And a very pleasant good morning. We're now at 8:34, and we are joined, as we are each month about this time, by Congressman Blaine Lueckdemeyer. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
And to you and your family, too.
Yeah.
Hey, the government is back open. Are you glad we're at least at this point?
Yeah, it's a good start. I'm hopeful that we get something out of this little conference committee that the president agreed to give him one more shot at this. I'm not very hopeful, but, he was willing to give it one more try. He was approached by about 30 Democrats in the House. My understanding is that now there's somewhere around 60 of them that's willing to vote for a wall, wall funding anyway, of some sort. So I think, Pelosi's, the backstory to all this is that Pelosi's caucus is beginning to fracture and nobody's talking about it, but they went to the president and asked for 3 more weeks, and he said, "All right, I'll give you 3 more weeks." And after that, I got to take action because we do seriously have an emergency situation here. When you look at the numbers of stuff coming across the border, it's mind-boggling what's happening. So, I'm hopeful, but I'm also pragmatic enough to know that this is, the president gave it 50-50. I would probably give it about a 90-10, probably success.
Well, let me ask you, if this does not work and the president decides to take executive action, I know you wouldn't have to vote on that, but would you support him doing it?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I've seen the numbers, and I have personally been to the border just to see the situation, but I've talked to lots of my colleagues, and we've got lots of reports on things that are happening down there. I mean, just to give you an idea, one of my friends was talking about a trip he took down there. He was talking to a farmer on the border. And this rancher has cameras all over his property. He said he gets about 10,000 people a year coming across his property. And he said it's not unusual to find a dead body somewhere on his property as well. His house has been broken into several times. If I was him, I probably would move because for fear of my life, because these people coming across, some of them are just, and the numbers of stuff that we've actually stopped, not saying all the other stuff that's gone through, but you're looking at about over 400,000 pounds of marijuana. You're looking at over 10,000 pounds of cocaine. 6,000 gang members have been stopped. 3,600 terrorists they've stopped at the border. And I think you saw this morning, yesterday, they had a huge, the biggest bust in history of fentanyl, which is the drug of choice now to replace the opioids. So it is, and the human trafficking come across there of people, the women and children that are being abused as they make this trip and trek across there is just, it just breaks your heart every time you hear stories about it. And some of them are so graphic, I really don't want to talk about them on the radio, but it's just horrible what's happening to these people. And, they're bringing their problems to us here in the United States by allowing these walls to not be built. People are incentivized to come. And otherwise, they would stay home, and some of these problems would be minimized. But, Trump made the comment yesterday. He said, "I wonder if I took the wall down in Tijuana, if Nancy Pelosi, all along the California border, if then she'd think a little bit differently about this and let them come pouring into the country." This is a really, really serious problem, and I certainly would support him in declaring a national emergency. There's another credit caravan or two that are forming in Central America. This is not ending yet. The president ran on this. People support this. It's got huge numbers of support in the polls. So this is something that we have to do to not recognize. And even the Democrats, most of them, other than Pelosi and her far lefties and her caucus, they're willing to, understand that border wall has to be a part of any sort of border security. Doesn't have to be a wall along the entire border, but it has to be in the key areas, and you can do other things in other areas. But a border wall is a deterrent. If you look at the numbers of people coming across whenever you build a wall, it drops precipitously. It's just amazing how much it goes down. So a wall works, and it needs to be a part of any solution there. And to just throw it away right off the top of your head and not even talk about it. That just shows the hypocrisy of a lot of things that Pelosi's been saying for a long time, and shows the unwillingness of the other side to even think of something as serious as security of our country in a way that's not political.
All right, I need to ask you about a couple things that aren't getting a whole lot of play as far as the national media is concerned. One, the House Committee on Natural Resources looking at the word "so help you God" removed from the oath recited by witnesses. What's going on there?
I hadn't heard that one. I was busy in my own committee this week with Maxine, throwing a conniption and firing staff on the spot. It was quite a show.
Really? What happened?
Well, we had our first committee hearing of the year, of the session. And in the first committee hearing, you always approve the rules. Now, the rules are pretty perfunctory. This is how you witnesses do things, how you as a caucus or as a committee, organize and what you can do and can't do with yourselves and your witnesses and, the numbers of people in the committee and all that kind of stuff. Well, we were arguing over some piddly little thing, and finally she calls a recess because the previous amendment to the rules had been offered by actually Ann Wagner out of Missouri, who's from St. Louis, and she had negotiated the amendment with her committee chairman that she is the ranking member of. And they had agreed to this, and Maxine had not been involved in the discussion, was not aware of this amendment, and she threw a little hissy fit there and wouldn't let the amendment, wouldn't approve and support the amendment after her own subcommittee chair had agreed to the amendment. And sitting there kind of like, what's going on here? I mean, what kind of circus have we got? And so Maxine called a timeout there for a little bit and a recess, and the committee chairman, who's an African-American lady out of Cleveland, who she wanted to point to this committee, specifically for this, it's a cultural diversity committee in our financial services committee of all things. And anyway, so she really just cut the knees off of this lady who she wanted in this committee chair. And she comes flying up to the dais and they start talking. And Maxine says, well, you're supposed to clear all these amendments through me. She wants total control of everything on the committee. And so she says, well, who's the staff person that said you could do this? And so they pointed to a staff person.
Oh, wow.
And she said, you're fired. So in before we could get the first committee hearing of the year out of the way, we already had her at each other's throat with her own subcommittee chairs, and she'd fired somebody. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Oh, that's incredible.
Now, that's probably going to kill a lot of headlines in the press. But it sure made for good theater there for a while.
All right. So I won't ask any more about So Help Me God being removed from witness testimony in the DNR committee, but hopefully that won't come up in your committee.
I haven't heard that one, but I thank you for that. I'll look into that.
All right. Let me ask you, what in the world is going on in New York and Virginia with these abortion laws?
Well, Bob, as you well know, these states, New York has been taken over the Democrats a long, long time ago. I mean, not just the Democrats. I mean, the far, far left. Virginia is beginning to go that way. I mean, they now have pretty well, run a lot of the Republicans out of office, and the far left is starting to take over that state as well. And, this issue of life is a really big issue to the left, in spite of what they say. To me, life begins at conception, and they keep throwing out all sorts of other stuff. But science, quite frankly, is on the side of the pro-life movement and showing that more and more all the time that life begins at conception. But these people, I mean, as you're talking about here, this proposed bill that the people in Virginia were talking about allows for basically infanticide. You can still kill the child after it's been born, which is just, it's mind-blowing. This this past week we had a situation here in Missouri where there was a man who, for some reason, he was in financial trouble and they thought the child was, a six-year-old, and thought that was, if he got rid of the child, it would help him be able to meet all his obligations, and he threw the child into the pond. Well, he immediately had some reservations about it. Went to the police and said he just killed his child. Police went out there and found the child and was able to resuscitate it. And I think everything's going to be okay. But so at 6 months, if this guy had done this under this new law, would that be okay? That's how absurd and how out of touch this group of people is. I can't even fathom how once the child is born. I mean, to me, the child is a child once it's conceived, but these people, if they want to make a distinction between the time it's at the point that it's born and the time it's still in the womb, to then say there is no point there at which whenever you're born, you still can kill the child. I mean, this this is absolutely blows me away. New York now has made that a law. I mean, that you can abort in right up to the very point of birth. I'm quite frankly left speechless, Bob. I mean, it blows my mind to think that we as a society, I've made this speech to the people who come to the pro-life march. I stayed over last week to be able to attend with the pro-life people their march and have some receptions and some meetings with them. And in my discussions with them, I say, look, whenever you devalue life, you devalue your culture. And we are at a point where after Roe v. Wade, we are devaluing life. And I think a lot of our cultural problems have started at that point, because once you go down that road, you start devaluing a lot of other things. The values that make us great. When Alexis de Tocqueville, who was a historian from France, came over in the early 1800s and was tasked with trying to figure out by his government leaders to figure out what makes America great. It wasn't our land, and it wasn't our laws. It was the value system that made us special, the value system that made us different, the value system on which our government, our laws are built. And when you destroy that value system, you destroy not only your culture, your society, and your country. And this is a road we can't go down, and we have to have people who are willing to stand up and push back. It's just horrible.
All right, let me ask you about the next Financial Services Committee meeting. When's that going to be taking place? Because we're going to find that on C-SPAN or something, because it looks like it's pretty good entertainment.
Well, I know there's going to be one here at the end of February. I'm not sure what between now and then whether we're going to have one. And it's going to be with regards to credit bureaus. There's been some problems with credit bureaus over the years. And, the lefties on our committee are hell-bent on taking a pound of flesh from those folks. And we'll see what happens, but I'm sure it's going to be an interesting situation. I know I told my committee chairman, our ranking member, I told Patrick, I said, Patrick, you need to sell tickets at the door for this. This is a show and some popcorn and beer. I said, we can finance some of our campaigns here. This is going to be a show that everybody's going to want to see. This is going to be amazing.
All right. Hey, how about the budget? Are we going to be able to get one hammered out with the Democrats in control of the House and Republicans the Senate?
Oh, that's a great question, Bob. I think you can probably get it done, but the wall is a problem. As long as the president insists on the wall, I don't know how you get it done. And the new budget's getting ready to be discussed probably in March. So we're just around the corner from having to work on the 2020 budget, and we haven't got 2019 finished up yet. So if the president decides to go ahead and use his emergency powers and start building a wall that way. We may be able to finish up the budget for this year and then begin to start on the next one. But the next one is going to be probably just as controversial, because I know what the Democrats are going to want to do. They're going to go in there and keep him from taking money from other places in the government to build his wall. So there's going to be a confrontation over this again. And so come October 1 of this year, this fall, look out, we're probably headed for some more problems. But I think, if he decides with his emergency powers to go ahead and take the money now from other areas, we can get a CR, continuing resolution, that would fund the government the balance of our fiscal year, which goes to September 30, and we can go on. But this is an issue that's going to continue to be played out. About 70% of American people believe a wall is necessary of some sort. And so the president's on pretty solid ground here, in spite of what the media will tell you. So that's kind of where we're at. I'm hopeful, but the way things are set up, it's going to be a tough deal to get much done.
All right, we've got about 5 minutes left. Let me ask you, a couple of people have already declared that they are going to be running for president in 2020. What does that do? And they're sitting lawmakers. What does that do to the atmosphere in Washington right now?
Well, everything in Washington is always political. It's not necessarily about policy. If not totally about politics. And that's, in fact, that's what this wall situation is about right now. It's all politics. So as political as the place is, it's going to get even more political, because now all these people that are running are going to want to posture themselves so that they can be able to get TV time. And I don't know how you can put, you know, 30 different people on TV all at one time. I mean, that doesn't work. So they're going to have to become more, outrageous in the way they do things to be able to get the traction of the media, number one. Number two, the far left hates Trump so much, and their whole intent on all of this is not is to keep him from becoming the next, you know, to be able to succeed himself here in 2020. They want to keep him from being able to win again. And so you're going to continue to see more and more obstinance from them. I don't think you get much more, but they're with Pelosi and company in charge of the House now. It's going to get really bad. They're going to be even more less likely to work with anybody. So it's just going to get more toxic and more inflamed. And if you thought the last 2 years were kind of outrageous with all the things going on, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, let me ask you, do you see Hillary Clinton making another run at this?
I know she wants to. You know, all of the signs indicate that. She's indicated that herself personally and things that have been reported. Behind the scenes, she's trying to make some moves, but she's also being told not to do it. I don't think she could get the nomination. If she did, that'd be a blessing for Republicans. But I really don't see it happening. I don't think that she can get the backing to be able to make this happen. Whenever she was starting her run last time, she still had her Clinton Foundation and she still had her ties from the previous administration, to be able to work those, to be able to generate the kind of money that she needs to run a campaign. I don't think that's there now. The Clinton Foundation has been shut down. I don't think those ties now are willing to support her. And if she can't get the funding to get off the ground, she can't get too far. So I really don't see her making a run at it, a serious run anyway. So I just don't think it's going to happen.
All right, let me have you give folks some advice. We got about a minute left. A lot of people are filling out the taxes, getting those sent in. What do you tell them about doing taxes this year?
Well, I'm hopeful that they will see that because of the tax rate cut that we passed about 13 months ago, that they're going to pay less in taxes over in 2018 than they did in 2017. Remember that whenever you go to the polls, people who have been supporting you, allowing you to keep your money, your businesses to be able their money to be able to reinvest. Hopefully they'll be thinking about those things. I think it's going to be a good year for most people. The economy continues to cook along. We created, I think the number I saw this morning was 300,000 jobs. Is that right?
Yep.
That just blew my mind because we had supposedly the shutdown was something that was going to shut everything down. Instead, it created more jobs. I'm not sure how that works, but holy cow. I think the people, when they fill their taxes out this time, are going to be pleasantly surprised. And we're going to continue to fight to keep those tax cuts in place. The other side wants to raise your taxes, wants to do away with those cuts, wants to put huge 70 to 90% tax increases on the wealthiest folks. I just watched Fox a while ago, and Art Laffer's on there and talking about how when you do that, you actually cut revenues. You take money out of business creators' hands, jobs aren't created. So I think you can see by leaving it in hands what we've done as a country over the last 12 months, 24 months actually, by freezing regulations and leaving people's money in their pockets. And the economy is just still rolling along. And the Fed stopped their march with their interest rates now, so I think we're in for some good continued good times, and I'm satisfied that the economy is in good shape for the foreseeable future.
All right, Congressman Blaine Lucht-Meyer has joined us today.